B-Pod Studios.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A baby girl named It's Mara was born through a cesarean delivery, and 24 hours later, doctors performed a C-section on her, too.
What?
Because
what?
She had absorbed her twin in the womb.
So the baby basically gave birth.
Kind of, sort of. When the mother, Monica Vega of Colombia, had an ultrasound at 7 months pregnant, doctors discovered she had two umbilical cords inside her. One connected baby It's Mara to Vega, but the other connected It's Mara to a mass that was her parasitic twin. When doctors noticed this, they diagnosed It's Mara with what's called fetus in fetu, a rare condition where a malformed fetus is found in the body of its twin.
So it's not a viable fetus.
No, the doctor said they needed to deliver It's Mara right away through a C-section so they could then operate on the baby. They were worried that if they didn't remove the parasitic twin inside It's Mara, the mass could grow and injure the baby's organs. So after delivering It's Mara via C-section, the doctors performed a C-section on her, too, to remove the mass, which had no heart or brain. She was in good health following the surgery. Fetus in fetu is very rare, with only one case occurring in about every 500,000 births.
They should have let it come to full term, and then it could have been the next contestant on The Bachelorette.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. A 13-year-old girl is among five teenagers arrested over a mass brawl involving youths armed with machetes at a movie theater where families were watching Frozen 2.
Wow, you saw it last night. Did you bring your machete?
I didn't take a machete to Frozen 2, but they did hear.
Was it machete night?
The disorder broke out late on Saturday afternoon. This is in England, by the way, sparking a mass evacuation of the complex. Police said up to 100 teenagers were involved in the major disorder where people were armed with machetes.
Isn't the whole concept to let it go?
Yeah. Dozens of officers were sent to the complex. Two machetes were seized during the trouble, which saw pockets of fighting, and seven police officers, left with minor injuries as they dealt with the crowds in and around the cinema. Armed police were deployed to the scene, drawing tasers to restore order following a very hostile response.
Did they mention what set it off?
They don't really know. They said it bears the high marks of an organized fight between rival groups.
And you pick Frozen?
I guess. I don't know. Well, the new song is Into the Unknown.
There you go.
Maybe there had never been a machete fight at a Frozen.
If there's ever been a song written for a machete fight, it's that one.
Five teenagers have been arrested, and a 13-year-old girl and another girl and boy age 14 and 19-year-old man were held in suspicion of assaulting police officers. Wow. Managers closed the complex for the rest of the evening.
Oh, really? They didn't finish out the movie?
No. Police issued a dispersal order. Yeah. A woman with a history of attacks on people wearing fur has been charged with attempted murder for stabbing a woman she believed was wearing the material at a church outside of Cleveland. Meredith Lowell is being held on a $1 million bond after the attack on Wednesday afternoon.
Was the woman, in fact, wearing a fur?
They didn't indicate.
Or was she just hairy?
The victim had brought children. She was babysitting to the church for choir practice, and Lowell stabbed her twice in the arm and once in the abdomen with a kitchen knife.
See, that you lose the argument when you start stabbing someone.
A man wrestled Lowell to the floor and held her until officers arrived. The victim remained hospital on Thursday. Her condition was unclear. It's not clear whether the victim was wearing real fur or not. Lowell was arrested a year ago. She's got a track record.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Suspicion of attacking someone she believed was wearing fur at a Whole Foods. A police report said Lowell punched and then tried to cut a woman wearing a jacket with fake fur on its hood with a serrated blade of a Swiss Army knife. The jacket was gashed, but the woman was not cut. Lowell was indicted in January on account of felonious assault. She pleaded not guilty because reason of insanity last month. The case is pending. And in March 2012, she was indicted in federal court in Cleveland after authorities said she posted on Facebook she wanted to hire a hitman to kill someone wearing fur. And Lowell wrote that she would be willing to pay between $830 and $850. An undercover FBI agent contacted her, asked that a person be killed with a gun or a knife at a Cleveland Heights library, and that she planned to be there when the murder was carried out. So she was serious about it.
So she thinks that fur is murder, but doesn't realize that murder is murder.
Yeah, Lowell told the agent she wanted to set up an animal rights militia and specified that a victim at the library should be at least 12 years old, and at least 4 feet tall. She was arrested. Those charges were dropped when it was determined that she could not be rehabilitated to competency. So she's kind of got a screw loose.
It seems that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is strange. Tattoos done at a high school. That's what a mother of a 15-year-old student said happened. Shartisha Lee's daughter came home with a small cross on her wrist, and now she wants to know how this happened during class. Lee's daughter told her mother that another student gave her and others tattoos using a method called stick and poke. And she said that it was done during study hall at the high school while the teacher was in the room.
So the tattoos are going on while the teacher is right in the room.
Yep. And now Lee is worried for her daughter's health. Someone at the health department said that her daughter will have to get tested for hepatitis, A, B, C, syphilis, and HIV.
Wow.
However, they have to wait a month for doctors to detect any diseases. While they wait, Lee's daughter and other students involved have been suspended for 3 days.
That's like how they do prison tattoos.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
The scary situation of alleged domestic violence in Oregon ended with the suspected abuser in handcuffs, all because the victim's daughter used an innovative approach to seek help. She dialed 911, but instead of asking for police, she pretended to order a pizza. The victim's daughter said that she used this tactic to keep the person who was hitting her mom in the dark, that she was calling for help. That way, he wouldn't run away before the police got there. In the strategy worked.
And we have the audio if you want.
I know. In his 14 years of service, the call that the dispatcher, a guy named Tim Tenyuk, has never gotten before said, but it's something that nobody's ever really been trained for. He said, we're just trained to listen.
Wow.
And he alerted officers to turn their sirens off when responding because his intuition was that something wrong was going on. So here's the audio from that call.
911.
I would like to order a pizza.
You called 911 to order a pizza?
Yeah.
This is the wrong number to call for a pizza.
No, you're not.
I'm getting you now. What apartment? Is the other guy still there?
Yep. I need a large pizza.
All right. How about medical? You need medical?
No, with pepperoni.
All right. We'll get him going.
Thank you.
There you go.
Gosh, wow.
Smart enough to think that through. Yeah. Unfortunately, the guy didn't hang up, thinking it was a prank call or
that
whatever it was.
That just gave me the chills.
Totally. Absolutely. So thinking on her feet, and that did it. Neighbors watched a dog take the ride of a lifetime. It was stuck inside a car, spinning in reverse for about an hour. Neighbors said the dog didn't seem to mind it at all.
He didn't get out of the cock-a-doodie car!
You got it! You got to use it twice now!
Neighbor Anna Sobel looked out her window Thursday morning, and a police car grabbed her attention, and then she said, I saw another cop car, and then another cop car, and she realized they were all responding to a gray sedan spinning in reverse in a cul-de-sac. And the one occupant inside was a black Labrador.
Oh, my God.
She said, I laughed. He was a better driver than most of the people I've seen around here. Police say the dog's owner had briefly stepped out of the car when the dog somehow knocked the car into reverse. Police said that they were able to stop the joyride by punching a passcode into the driver's side door, but not before the dog took out a mailbox, a trash can, and moved some bricks in front of a home. And they
could have
said,
been a lot worse.
Yeah.
He said he was doing pretty good until he hit the mailbox. He went around for about an hour without hitting anything at all, Sobel said. Police say there were no one was injured in the incident, and said that the dog seemed pretty happy when he got out. His tail was wagging.
He went for a drive.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it's funny. The car was going fairly slow. Sometimes you'll see them. They're going fast.
Whipping, yeah.
Out of control. Now, another story. A chihuahua. Same thing sort of happened on Friday. This was in Louisiana. A man and a woman stopped to pump some gas in their SUV at a store. And at some point between the gas being pumped and the customer paying and leaving, police say the dog put the car in reverse. And no one else was inside the car.
He didn't get out of the cock-a-doodie car!
The SUV began moving backwards.
That's 3 times!
And eventually came to a stop at another gas station across the street. Not only is it a mystery how the dog put it into gear, I mean, it's a chihuahua. It's
amazing.
A tiny little dog.
Yeah, the dog's name's Annabelle.
But it's a miracle that no other cars were hit or people were hurt when the SUV crossed 4 lanes of traffic with the dog on board.
Some people call her Annabelle.
Police say One of the owners of the dog sustained minor injuries while trying to chase down and stop the SUV.
It's astonishing.
No word at this point on whether the dog's owners were cited or if the dog will have his license suspended.
Did you get the story about the support lobster that started up and drove a big wig?
I'm going to save that for tomorrow. No. Yeah. High Point University student Morgan Taylor came across an unexpected sight Wednesday night after witnessing what appeared to be an employee at a local nail salon butchering a deer carcass inside of the salon.
Oh, wow.
And I saw the picture of it. I mean, it's like right there in the middle of the salon, she's gutting this deer.
So is that part of the service?
Maybe.
Nails and venison?
The salon is Diamond Nails, and Taylor posted an image of the scene on social media showing a woman going to work on the deer meat in what looks to be a waiting area in the salon.
With her teeth.
She captioned the image with the hashtag, not fawned and oh buck no. While encouraging anyone who is hunting for a nail salon in the area to visit this establishment that specializes in manicures, pedicures, and amateur deer butchers. She had never visited the salon before, but did report the incident to the NC Cosmetic Arts. No one has responded to a comment from the media about it.
I think that would not be hygienic, correct?
That's what I would think, but, you know, interesting. A Utah teacher, okay, listen to this story. A Utah teacher was charged with kidnapping for allegedly taking a 5-year-old girl off school grounds for nearly 40-minute walk in what she claimed was a huge misunderstanding. Amy Martz could face 15 years to life in prison if convicted of what she says was simply trying to help a child get home. She said, "I did not kidnap a child. I followed a clearly distraught child as she left the school grounds. I felt she was not safe traveling alone." Police say the girl's mother went to school to report that her daughter, who is autistic and nonverbal, had never made it home. A short time later, Martz called to say the child was with her. They walked more than a half a mile away from the school. Martz, a sixth grade teacher, by the way, was charged Monday with child kidnapping, a first-degree felony for the unauthorized stroll. Surveillance video shows her and the girl walking hand in hand away from the school. Another teacher reported seeing Martz try to give the girl a piggyback ride. Martz stressed her intent was never to kidnap a child. She said, "I had no intent to interfere with the child's trip home. I was providing safety to what I felt was a vulnerable child because she was distraught." The incident began when she spotted the girl sobbing uncontrollably and leaving school grounds. She said, so she took the girl by the hand to help her find her way home, only learning later the child had trouble communicating. She said, "At each fork in the road, I stopped and said, 'Which way home?' And she would confidently say, 'This way home.' But after a while," she said, "I finally realized that this cute girl did not know where she was going. And since she only intended to be gone for a couple of moments," she said, "she left her purse, her cell phone in her classroom, and even left her own child behind to wait for her. Eventually, she went to a house and asked to borrow a phone and called the school." Martz said she tried to explain the situation to the girl's parents, who only speak Spanish, but believes that a language barrier contributed to the mix-up. She said, "At the end of the day," the dad asked, "at the end, so you just took her?" She said, "No, and I repeated the story again. I felt the language may have been a barrier to understanding my good intentions and the safety I provided. She only learned that she had been charged. She was contacted by a local outlet seeking comment. She then learned there was a $25,000 warrant out for her arrest, so she turned herself in." Yeah. Isn't that wild? So I hope they're going to figure this thing out. And this is why, you know, listen, I've seen kids that appeared to be lost before at, like, an event where there's
right.
people, and I'm like,
and you might, yeah.
Yeah.
Where can I step in and when am I, you know what I mean?
No, you get worried, and someone, it sounds like she was really trying to be a good Samaritan.
Agreed.
If you have somebody that you need to communicate with who speaks a different language, talk slowly in English, but loudly.
Right.
They will understand.
How you clear it up.
Yeah.
Now, but if you've seen a child that needs comforting, that might be crying and nobody's around to help them, I mean, it's you have to approach cautiously, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's stories like that that make you go, oh, man.
You're on your own.
You know? So,
yeah.
Sorry, terrible, kid.
Yeah.
It's a tough world out there.
It's life in the big city.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.